Turn to Ecclesiastes tonight, chapter 12, and I'll tell you what brought me to this in a moment. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Now, look at this kind of from the reverse as to where we normally look at it. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle, because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim, and the doors on the streets are shut, as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken, and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Let's pray. Lord, we know your word is wisdom to us. And Lord, how we are given the things we need to live on by the very fact, Lord, that you instruct us in what is actually true. So, Lord, as we look at this and this warning that's been for many hundreds of years now given to the world, I pray, Lord, we would appreciate, again, your wisdom and kindness in giving it to us. That we would see an increase among our youth, and also, Lord, among those who are elderly in the practice of these ways, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, after putting it off for a long time, I mean months and months, I called the dentist's office and made an appointment because I had some teeth problems. And I knew there were problems, but, you know, the Lord could have come back before I went in, and that would have been kept me from that. But finally I went, and I said, they asked me on the phone what the problem was. And I said, you know, it's been so long since I've been in, I really can't tell you. I have no understanding exactly what all's gone on. I think some pieces have broken off, and I'm sure I have some cavities. And so I just ended up making an appointment for a cleaning. And from the cleaning, an evaluation will be made. And, you know, Dr. Rainey would, you know, take it from there. But I was thinking of this passage as I was thinking of going to the dentist, especially the verse that says the grinders cease because they are few, which is a reference to teeth. And we normally consider this chapter when we're talking about young people. I mean, it says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. That's the most explicit application given by Solomon, who was wise by the gift of God, but also aged, had age on him. And, you know, here he is giving instruction to those who would follow, and those who love our children, want them not to make the same mistakes. Solomon made a lot of them, and gives some instruction about how to best live. It's like fix the roof before it rains. You know, don't wait for it to rain and then realize the roof needs fixing. You get ahead of it. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Or, you know, take a deep breath before you go underwater, you know, to be ready for it, to have enough air in your lungs to endure that time that you're underwater. It's wisdom to get a young person on the right road early in life. Because we know that more than young people do by experience, that the start is important. And you can get into a lot of trouble early and develop habits early, good and bad. The good ones, of course, would help you through life. The bad ones would plague you through life. Because it's like when you walk on a path, you make up a space there, a place, or a rut. Cars make ruts where the tires go. And once you get in those ruts, well, then that's where you travel in. You're stuck in the rut. And so to prepare so that you don't get stuck in a bad rut, we have things like this. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. There are things to start in youth that you will not stop. And there are things to stop in youth that you will not be able to stop later on very easily. It just takes a bad decision to make you stuck in a rut for a long time. And you might look back and that, like, you know, Solomon says in Proverbs, oh, I've hated wisdom. And there's regret then. But before that, if you can not start it, well, then you don't have to stop it. And so this is what this is about. Remember your Creator also in the days of your youth. If you fail to find a firm footing in youth, when you're most fresh in body and mind, then later on, it's often too late. You see that people are just entrenched in something. Well, I ended up with one cavity and a broken tooth. And Dr. Rainey asked me if I'd been eating rocks, which, you know, a bowl of quartz every now and then, everybody's got to have that. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but still. So this is why I've stressed to our young people to become masters of the Bible right now in their youth. Knowing the Bible, and they have the brain for that. They pick up a lot of things everywhere. Knowing the Bible will put them so far ahead of the wisdom that is currently running the world. Just the most simple things. You know the Bible, you know more than most of the scientists in all the universities in the country, because you know that God made the heavens and the earth, and they're still thinking it just happened by chance. So you're already there. You're smarter than all the congressmen, because you'll read that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And they don't know that. And yet the young people who study the Bible would know that. You would excel in both common and special sense, which the vast majority of our current world leaders lack. Congressmen lack, senators, educators, heads of company, and just the basic citizen of the world. Rich knowledge that God shares with us in His Word about Himself, about reality, about our destination, about our purpose and meaning. And you've got psychologists and psychiatrists all through the world trying to help people find their purpose and meaning, and it's right there in the Bible. And they don't know it. And if our young people would know the Bible, we would not be able to count all the problems they would not have by being protected with knowledge of the Scriptures. It's really astounding that there are people in such positions of influence who do not know basic truth. They make it up as they go along and believe that what they make up is actually true. And how the ignorant will be proud of their ignorance, will boast of it, write books about it, try to change others to believe and be as ignorant as they themselves are, because they're deceived and blind and believe something that is not true. Just like Paul believed that he was serving God by persecuting Christians. He was clueless, deceived, in darkness. And our young people can be spared so much pain if they would, as soon as possible, and it's now for that, to know the Word of God, and not to be deceived by the world's deception. The world wants to lead people to hope in something that has no hope. And it just leads to more discouragement and depression. So, of course, we're not against knowledge. I would say to young people, add to your Bible knowledge math and science and geography and history and the basics of Star Trek, of course. You know, the basics in life. But know the Bible first. Get that first. Get that most. Build all the other knowledge on the Bible. Well, you start with science. Evolutionary science is the big thing in the school system now. Well, you got that, and now you're already twisted off. But if you study and know the Bible first, creation, then you know all the wonders you study on science, regardless of what, you know, Richard Leakey says or these other evolutionists who've had impact in, you know, educational circles, whatever they say, you'll know that's not true because you've read in the scriptures what actually is the truth. So it's a great protective for our children. It's like keeping your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. To keep your heart with all diligence requires that you know the scriptures. And knowing the scriptures keeps you from, you know, so many bad things that we just don't want to have any part in. Things that are, you know, not at all healthy for us. And, you know, with the scripture given to us, we have that opportunity. So that is what he's saying here. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Now I want to deal with this in reverse, since most of us are not technically youth now. We like to think that we're, you know, pretty youthful, but, you know, in some ways it's not exactly that way. But we're glad to claim it if we can. And so we will, but you know, at the same time, we have to live with the reality and find out that, you know, we're not all the way young people like we used to be. It's also not too late in life. If people want to actually be solid and not dependent upon things that change, well, God saves people all through life, even to the very end, even to the elderly years. But I want to cash in on what I hope has been a youth spent in knowing God for us, and now, you know, living with that understanding. We know the Bible doesn't tell us this, but we can observe in reality, in life, experience, that most men die the way they live. The big change before death is not common. It could happen, but it's not common, not as common as we'd like. So we want to enjoy and live a happy life because we've remembered our Creator in the days of our youth. So I'm going to look at it from that standpoint. The instruction and warning of this chapter is that a failure to build a strong foundation in youth due to confidence in the flesh will one day rot from under us, that foundation. Because if our foundation is based upon our youth leaves us. And if our youth leaves us and our foundation is based upon the strength of our bodies, then we will fall. And I know that as we get older, we mourn the loss of our abilities to do what we once did. Flexibility. People get lonely as loved ones die. It's hard. Someone said old age is not for sissies. We need a strong foundation that will last in these changing times in body. And so young men tend to depend upon the strength of their body. Proverbs 20:29 says, "The glory of a young man is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair." So there's a difference in perspective between a young person who glories in their strength and the old men who glory in their gray hair. They have a wisdom. They don't mind the passing of time if they have that wisdom. And this is what this is speaking of here as well. And this passage speaks of the natural tendency of the young to lay out their entire life on the basis of how they currently exist physically. The physical abilities of their youth, they figure that's going to be the way it's always going to be. It's just natural because you live day to day. You're in the vigor of youth, and there's no thought that would change. And so they look ahead and they think, well, the way I am now is the way I'll always be. And so anything I build today on the basis of what I can do now and my abilities now and my health now, that'll persist. It's like the man who built the barns. He just figured that if he had more barns to store more of his stuff, he would live his life in the same way from that point on. But he didn't know his soul would be required of him. So he wasn't ready. There's a song, "Those Were the Days, My Friend." I don't think it's called that. But it goes like this: "Once upon a time, there was a tavern where we used to raise a glass or two. Remember how we laughed away the hours, dreamed of all the great things we would do. Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose. We'd fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our way." Then it goes on and says, "Then the busy years went rushing by us." And from that point on, you know, things are going down. We don't have the same abilities. It fades. It goes on, the third verse, "Just tonight I stood before the tavern. Nothing seemed the way it used to be. And in the glass I saw a strange reflection. Was that lonely woman really me?" So age happened. The fourth verse, "Through the door there came familiar laughter. I saw your face and heard you call my name. Oh, my friend, we're older but no wiser, for in our hearts the dreams are still the same." And in this particular song, they didn't learn their lesson, although everything had changed. They thought everything would always be that way. So Solomon directs us away from that, from the strength of youth to the strength that does not change, the strength of our soul. "Remember also your creator in the days of youth before the evil days come, and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain." Before things change. And in youth, thank God for youth. Now, not every young person has good health. We had people in our class who were not very healthy. Jonathan Edwards, some of his children were not very healthy. It's just common that happens. But in the ideal situation, you're at your best in your youth. You have hair. Some people keep theirs, but not everybody. You're Life is just, your burdens are not as great. You don't have as many responsibilities. You can play, and actually your parents tell you to go out and play. And that is a gift from God. And if you look back at our youth and have delight in it, it's just that we had delight in the things that we did. We chose to do the things that we wanted to do. We had the ability to do that. We could run and run and run and run and run. But Solomon says, the days will come when you have no delight in them because there are some contingencies, some circumstances that crop up that in youth are not there. And then he goes through building a foundation on what doesn't change, because as we all know, your body does change. To have a relationship with your creator in the days of your youth gives you a foundation that does not change, because your creator does not change. His will does not change. His word does not change. So living on the knowledge of your creator and a relationship with your creator is solid, regardless of body. So then he goes into do it before these things happen. Verse 3, in the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, the keepers of the house tremble. It means your arms and your legs begin to shake. When mighty men stoop, speaks of your legs faltering. The grinding ones stand idle because they are few. That's the teeth thing. You lose your teeth with age. Those who look through windows grow dim, means your eyesight decreases. Doors in the street are shut as the sound of grinding is low. You lose your appetite. One rises at the sound of a bird, you can't sleep. All the daughters of song will sing softly. It means you don't appreciate music or entertainment very much. Afraid of high places and terrors on the road. It means an increased vulnerability. Traveling is more hazardous. The almond tree blossoms, gray hair. The grasshopper drags himself along. Your limbs are bent. Again, going back to the other things about your legs and your arms, you're not as capable. The caper berry is ineffective, or desire fails. It speaks of losing your sexual desire. And then it goes into very fundamental things, the capacity to acquire the elements of life is broken. It's typified by water and a well here. It says the silver cord is broken, the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. So it's speaking about, in that regard, the loss of the ability that you have to lay hold of life. I mean, you can't just undo these things because, I mean, they're there to stay. They're not, what changes is your body. So, these things happen. The silver cord is broken. The cord, silver cord, and these matters relating to like a well. You've got water, ways of gathering water, which is, you're gathering the stuff of life. The silver cord is broken, means the rope holding the bucket breaks. The golden bowl is crushed, means the container that gathers the water can't hold the water anymore. The pitcher by the well is shattered, the container that holds the water that you can pull up in the bowl, and the wheel of the cistern is crushed, means the mechanism that lowers the bucket is broken. So it's a thirsty man. Now he can't get water or can't keep water. And it's pictured that way. Things change to such a degree that life in body oozes out of you. And to remember your creator then is to have life in that situation, because that is a constant that doesn't change. That is your life. That's how you're known. You know in your creator. And we can apply this from the other side. The other thing mentioned there is your funeral. Jonathan Edwards, in one of his resolutions, resolved that he would think of his death every day. Jonathan Edwards died in his 50s. He was given a vaccine against chickenpox, I think, and it killed him when he went to Princeton to be president. And young people generally don't think about that. A lot of people all the way up to toward the end of their lives don't think about it. My grandmother used to say, "If I'm living." So she was thinking about it. But a lot of people don't think about that. And the funeral is mentioned here. Verse 7, "And the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." So you come to the end. It says, mourners go about in the street. If you have death, you've got mourning. You've got people reacting to it. Things are reacted to that are unpleasant. But that's what we have to face. We have to remember that, be reminded of that, that we all head there. But from the other side, let's say you followed the exhortation and you remembered your creator in the days of your youth. Well, your life is solid still. You could list quite a number of incapacities that you've suffered through life. You don't have as many teeth. Your vision's not as good. You don't have as much energy. You're not as flexible. I mean, go on and on. But your life isn't dependent upon that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. For though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That, in a nutshell, is what Solomon is also saying. Is our outer man is decaying. But remembering your creator in the days of your youth, your inner man is being renewed day by day. So, if following Solomon's advice, we remembered our creator in the days of our youth, our inner man will be strong. Our stability will be in the Lord. And we will have a weight of glory beyond all comparison. While we look to the things which are seen, not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal. And again, that's what Solomon's been saying about the body, from youth to aged, elderly. But the things which are not seen are eternal. An eternal foundation is a solid foundation. We can live with that. The disaster is when this world is all we're built upon, and the world is passing away, and we lose these things that inevitably come, we are then bereft. We are empty. We are dangling over nothingness. So let's look at it from this side, how good the Lord is to us to stabilize us and found us in Him. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful to you for the instruction you give. And Lord, we would also pray. We pray for our young people that they would be masters of your word. Not that they would wait for some later time, but Lord, that they would even now be in your word and know your word and be strong in it. And Lord, that we who are past the days of youth, Lord, may we delight in good things in you and not be sidetracked, even though, Lord, they certainly are a concern to us by the physical changes, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.